You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Excited to have the choir offering us their cantata this morning, but just a few words of context before we hear our scripture passage that sets up our Palm Sunday reading for today. I think some of you know, we've talked about it before, if we just had Matthew, the reading that we're going to read today, this would not be Palm Sunday. It wouldn't be Palm Sunday. It would be Garment Sunday. Happy Garment Sunday! If you pay attention to the text, there are no palms in Matthew. None. Guess what? There are no palms in Mark. There are no palms in Luke. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, our first gospels, our synoptic gospels, are completely palm-free. Palms only come into play in John. Why? Because John was written way after, probably 20, maybe 30 years after the destruction of the temple in 70 of the Common Era. The Romans came in and destroyed the temple. A coin was struck in 71, celebrating that event. And here is that coin. You see the goddess Nike on the left side, and what is she in front of? A palm tree, right? And who is sitting down there at the side looking sad? Ooh. Someone who Nike has defeated. And then you see there, Judea on the right, you see Judea Capta in Latin, and you see the Emperor Vespasian there, and again, the person that is sitting at the base of the palm tree. The palm tree represents a captured Judah. That's why the coin says Judea Capta, Judah captured, right? And this is from 71. And John having folks wave palm branches in this story says something to the observer that we have completely lost. Now, what do the people shout in the story when they're waving the palm fronds? What do we sing in our first song? Hosanna. We've talked about this before. What does Hosanna mean? Does it mean yay? How many people for yay? That's hallelujah, right? What it means is save us. Hosanna means save us. And so waving palm fronds in John under the Romans' noses, it's like waving Palestinian flags in Israel. Do you see what I'm saying? It is like people waving Mexican flags at a rally for immigration reform. Are you following me? It is exactly like that. What you're waving is no different. You radicals. So I'd like to try something here before we hear our passage. Grab your palm frond and let's wave that. And instead of shouting Hosanna, let's shout save us. All right, just at will. Ready? Save us! Save us! Save us! Save us! Louder! Save us! Save us! Does that change Palm Sunday for you a little bit? Right? So you can see why the Romans were a little irritated. And that's why when we think about, well, we just don't understand why the Romans didn't like Jesus that much. Maybe you have a little bit better understanding now, at least according to John, what was going on. But since we're reading Matthew today, happy Garment Sunday. Let's hear this reading from Matthew.
When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble, and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The last week of Jesus' life began with a celebration of his royalty, his sovereignty. Palms were waved, cheers were raised, spirits were high, and voices loud with praise. Only Jesus wept for the city, saying, "If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." The last meal of his life began with preparation. The disciples went ahead to prepare a room for the meal that they would share. Their hearts were full of love and adoration for their master and their friend. Only Jesus knew the agony that was ahead of him. And when he broke the bread, he told them, "This is my body given for you." The last day of Jesus' life began with prayer. Prayer for strength to carry him through. Prayer for his disciples that their faith would not fail. Prayer for deliverance. But the disciples fell asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Jesus continued to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." The disciples mourned the death of their master and friend, trying to make sense of what happened. Their eyes had seen a king, but their hearts were confused. How could their king have been put to death? What would become of the promised kingdom now? They didn't understand his teaching or remember that Jesus had told them, "The Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." They were afraid, scattered, clinging to a faith that was being tested to its limits, searching for answers in the comforting words he had left with them. They didn't know how, but they knew they would see him again, for Jesus had promised, "I am going away, and I am coming back to you."
I rest my weary soul.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.